certainly, you know, it's caught a lot of people by surprise. Handling privacy around these issues to protect the rights of all parties is important, and so sometimes when these announcements come out, they are quite shocking to the people who are hearing it for the first time. And I think that is representative of the reactions we're getting. There's a little bit of shock. They're starting to come to terms with what it means and where the industry is at. But the fact is that there is still limited information that is available. Everyone would like more information at this point in time, including myself, but, you know, we have to go through the proper processes, and, you know, as information becomes available, we'll make it available to all our growers.
Obviously, the positive test that has been returned by Biosecurity Queensland is serious enough for them to go public, but what is actually necessary from here to confirm the worst-case scenario, Tropical Race 4?
My understanding is, and I'm not fully across all the protocols, but it is necessary to have the test confirmed by an independent laboratory. So the samples are being sent to another laboratory for testing. And I also believe there is another test that is being run to further confirm it as Tropical Race 4. At this stage, it's anticipated that process will take 1 to 2 weeks for that confirmation or otherwise to come through.
Why has it been necessary to go public before the case actually is confirmed as Panama Race 4?
One of the reasons here is that this particular pathogen can be moved via machinery movement, for example. And so while it's still only a suspect case at this stage, it is desirable and prudent for all growers to start considering what actions they need to take to minimise their risks. The best case scenario is that, you know, they might invest a little bit of time and effort and find out it is not actually Tropical Race 4. But in the meantime, they can start taking actions to protect their properties. And, you know, they will essentially be trying to do that by controlling and limiting the movement of people and vehicles and plants on and off their own properties.
But how will that be possible if the identity or the location of the exact property isn't going to be made public?
Yeah, look, every grower should be doing this. The fact is, this pathogen, you know, we've got one property that it's a suspect sample on, but that doesn't mean that there's not potentially other properties already infected. We do not know. Further investigations over the coming weeks will try to identify that. They'll identify high-risk properties that may have had movements associated with his existing property, but what everyone should be doing is looking at their own property and making sure that they can control those movements on and off, all movements on and off their own properties, not just ones from higher risk. You know, it's almost like assume that everyone's infected and make sure that you don't let it onto your property. And if everyone can collectively do that, then we end up with a reasonably good result from a biosecurity point of view at an area or a district level.
Biosecurity has been such a front and centre issue for the industry. How is it possible that this could happen when everyone's on such heightened alert?
Look, that's obviously a really good question that we don't have an answer for. You know, it's unknown how this property may have become infected. I'm sure that will be a focus of the subsequent investigations in the coming weeks, trying to identify how it may have got to this region. But the short answer is, at this point, we just simply don't know.
How did the owner of the property that's been quarantined become aware that they might have a problem?
A number of weeks ago, you know, and full credit to the grower in this instance, he identified some plants that didn't look quite right. He basically called for someone to come and have another opinion. That officer chose to take some samples, was a little bit concerned, and it's from that testing that it's been identified as a suspect TR4 site.
And Doug Phillips, have you been able to speak with that person today now that the test that came back from Biosecurity Queensland indicated that it was indeed positive?
I personally haven't been in contact with the grower, but ABGC and obviously Biosecurity Queensland have certainly been in contact, and we are endeavouring to work with that grower. He's in his position through no fault of his own, and we're offering whatever and all support that we can to assist them.
What are the logistics involved for authorities who are now trying to track the movement of soil and water and plant material on and off that property?
Look, it's a big issue. You know, the first thing is to limit any future movements, and I think that's the purpose of the quarantining of that property. Obviously, the investigations will start. It'll start off with conversations with the grower and various people, and from there they'll have to build a picture. It'll be a little bit like detective work. They'll start pulling on a string and see where they end up.
suffice to say, we're talking about weeks and months, not days.
Look, because of this particular pathogen, containment is our first priority. That's why the quarantine has been put in place. And that's why I would encourage all growers, right as of now, to start considering what they can do.
Is there anything more that you can do from the ABGC perspective to assist with that in the practical washing down of vehicles and the processes and protocols that need to be in place?
We are certainly preparing information for all the growers and for other people in the supply chain who have a role to play in biosecurity. So in the coming days, we will be in contact with many of those people. I imagine we'll have a series of meetings to make the latest information available, to answer any questions they may have where we can, and we'll just continue to provide whatever information we can.
I alluded to the Northern Territory just a moment ago. The industry recently put in place a levy to deal with and pay for the eradication of another biosecurity issue, banana freckle, in the NT. How is the prospect of a Panama Race 4 outbreak going to impact on all growers?
Look, it's probably a little bit early to tell that at this stage. We'll just have to see how that plays out. Yeah, look, we're very early in the stages of it, and you know, as we get better information, we'll be able to make more informed decisions in that manner.
Doug, are there any other messages for your growers, who I know are also your neighbours and your friends at this time?
Look, they should be looking at their own practices, look at your own farm, and consider what steps you need to take to protect your own property. On-farm biosecurity is going to be one of the key elements in this. I can't stress that enough. And I would urge everyone to consider what steps they can take to strengthen that on-farm biosecurity. We want to control access and control of movement on and off each individual farm. That's the message we need to get home to everyone at the moment.
Doug Phillips from the Australian Banana Growers Council, we do appreciate you talking to us at this very difficult time for your industry.